Welcome to Module 1, Externalizing the Problem. In this module, our goal is to get your problems out on paper by listing every pain point, uncertainty, frustration, want, etc. The idea of externalization simply means to get it out of your head or put on paper everything you've been holding on to. Why do we do this? In narrative theory, it's one of the first steps of the therapeutic process and becomes a vital step in rewriting our stories and beliefs about ourselves and our place in this world. Externalization translates an internal experience outside of ourselves, creating separation between us and the painful stories. It allows us to view things from a different lens and makes it more challenging to get entrenched in our shame when looking at them. You'll see a worksheet below this video for you to download that lays out each of the steps of this dumping process that we'll go through in this module. I often find it helpful to listen to the process in full and then go back and do the work on my own, but many people refer to do this alongside me, using the worksheet and kind of pausing as you go. So do whatever works best for you and your learning. Either way, I want to encourage you to be gentle with yourself. This is a hard phase. Before we get started, there are a few shame games that I want to point out that are going to show up throughout this module to help you feel more prepared for how you can respond when these occur and build that sense of self-compassion going into this. So first, as soon as we talk about the problems that brought you here, you're going to feel a pull to talk yourself out of them and judge yourself for even naming them. Whether it's thoughts like, these are dumb, you should just get over it, it's not that big of a deal, or oh, I can't believe that you're spending money to deal with X. You might also experience your mind going blank. Wait, what do you mean? Everything's fine. This is a shame defense tactic used to keep you stuck. Shaming yourself for having pain only keeps you tethered to that narrative that you are somehow broken. When the judgment occurs or the pressure mounts, notice it with curiosity, even take a moment to journal about it, and then continue on. When I get really stuck in that space of self-deprecation and minimization of my experience, I tell myself, it makes sense that I feel this way when the beliefs that I have are that I'm the problem. And these are still things that cause me pain. I'm allowed to hold space for them and consider the possibility that how I have thought about them and myself in this general context may be wrong, or at the very least, isn't working for me. The other game your shame's going to try and play is blame shifting. If you feel like your partner isn't listening to you or that your boss is taking advantage of your time and commitment, your shame brain is going to find a way that this is all your fault. Either through minimizing it, you're making a big deal out of nothing, or by finding the ways that you've caused and deserve this. Again, show up with kindness here. There are absolutely things that are in our control that we'll talk about, and there are many things that aren't, and it's important not to take the responsibility for things that aren't ours. Remind yourself that we are not here to judge or to prosecute. We're purely collecting data, and our assessments of that data don't have a place in this part of the process. And then the final way that your shame is going to try and show up is, honestly, throughout the entire program, is to tell you that you're somehow not doing this program right. You're failing in the work. You're not doing the program correctly. Let's just nip this in the bud now. There's no right way to do this program. That would mean that I made this program about me and my expectations. And that's not who the program is for. It's about you. So the only right way to do this program is to allow it to be what it needs to be for you and to show up however it does. Each iteration or time you come back to this program, it's going to look different. Okay, so let's dive in. If you haven't already, download the worksheet below or grab a notebook. You're also going to need some sort of timing device, maybe a phone or something to keep time for this first step. Step one is the basic dump, where we're going to use a couple of prompts to help us, but mostly our goal here is just time for free processing and reflection, with the goal to answer the question, what's causing me pain? I want you to spend at least 20 minutes with the following questions and sitting in that thought. Don't cheat yourself on this. 20 minutes is a long time, and it's necessary. Some of the questions for us to think about, which are all on your handout, why are you here? In a journal exercise I saw on Oprah one time, she mentioned the idea of the secret why, or the things we seek to understand, know, or do that we fear saying out loud. So maybe one of the questions is, I'd really like to understand why I took this job, decided to have kids, chose this life, am staying in this relationship. Do I want it? Who's it for? Can I change it? Some of the other questions, what's upsetting me or disturbing me? What do I hate about my life right now? What do I want to get away from, leave behind, or change? And where do I feel stuck? In what roles, relationships, and aspects of your life are you feeling this way? So I want you to jot down anything that comes to mind during this 20 minutes. And remember, this is for you and your work. It only has to make sense to you. I'm going to note that it is helpful for you to be as specific as you can. We want to start off with as many points that feel relevant to work through. And over time, we're going to kind of bring them down to look for themes and categories. So for example, if you start off by saying, I feel unfulfilled in my relationships, think on that a little bit more. It might be more specifically, I'm unhappy in my marriage and I've fallen out of love with my spouse, but I'm afraid to leave. Or I don't feel like I can be myself with any of my friends, but I'm there to take care of everyone else. I worry that I picked friends that don't care to get to know me because it felt safer for me. Or finally, I feel like I've lost my ability to engage in any meaningful way with people, especially since the pandemic. I can't tell if it's because I'm depressed or if I just don't want these relationships anymore. Expect that sitting with this one time isn't going to capture everything. Come back more than once, and even if it feels hard, stay the full 20 minutes each time. The reason we do that is that it allows us to focus on not just the screaming pain points that come to the surface right away, but what I call the whispers and drifters. These may be things that you've tried to tell yourself are fine, seem small, or less socially acceptable to list as a problem, or maybe just have gotten pushed down over time or fallen lower on the list. This allows us a better chance of understanding the totality of your pain so that we can establish meaningful goals and be mindful in your pursuits. Here are a couple of examples that others have done that I think can be great starting points for us to get our own thoughts going. So the first, I'm overwhelmed. I'm exhausted all the time. I'm not present in anything I do, and I'm constantly snapping at the people around me. I feel underappreciated and ill-supported by my loved ones and at work, and I'm worrying that my partner and I may just be really good friends. I hate my body, and I lack the motivation or drive to do anything about it. Another example, I hate my life. I hate the job I'm working in, but don't feel qualified to do anything else or even what I want. I feel like I'm a convenient person to spend time with because I'm always the planner, the caretaker, and it makes me feel lonely. I'm scared I've only ever made choices to make others happy and worry that by doing this work, I'm going to have to face the fears that I don't really know who I am. So these can hopefully help kickstart some of your own reflections, as I mentioned. But the other reason that I like to include examples is that it creates a sense of normalization and universality in this process. Seeing that you're not alone or the problem and that many other people share these same thoughts and experiences as you is a way that we allow our distress to, again, become externalized from us so that we can engage with it more openly. Now, the following two steps have the same goal as step one. Getting your pain out of your head, but using more specific and guided reflection questions. So using prompts can elicit different responses and consider information from different viewpoints, which allows us to get a more complete picture of your pain and suffering. So for step two, our goal is to look at how your pain and problems show up in the four pillars of self, how we think, feel, act, and connect. You'll see a chart on your handout that has each of these categories listed. Under each one, there are some prompts to get you going. Now, with each of these, I want you to consider, what are the thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and connections that you wish you could hit a reset button on? Or you feel like, oh, if I never had to think, feel, do blank again, that would be amazing. For example, you might notice that you spend a lot of time ruminating after interactions with your coworkers, and it often feels like it affects the way you engage in your work. Or you may do a behavior inventory and note that your practices of fueling your body with food, movement, and sleep may not be what you want. Perhaps you're getting 5 to 6 hours of sleep a night because you keep staying up to get it all done, and you're struggling with this compounding impact of feeling like you need to do more and you're sleeping less. As you're doing this, you're going to begin to see how problem identification looks a lot like preliminary goal setting. That's because it is. And I want you to encourage yourself not to jump to what you want to do or need to do, and instead focus on that inventory. Look at what isn't working and is causing pain. It's a subtle distinction, and it's essential to this part of the process. Now, finally, for step three, we're going to look at how things show up in a different angle, through the lenses of your roles and responsibilities. So in the chart that I created for you on your handout, I want you to list every role you have. Some examples for me might be partner, mother, daughter, friend, therapist, business owner, renter. And then next to each one of them, list out any sources of pain, frustration, anguish, distress. Use the same questions from step one, but filter them through the lens of each of these roles. You might even consider the four pillars that we talked about in step two. How are my thoughts, feelings, actions, and connections causing me distress or pain in my role as a mom or a business owner? For me, if I consider the business owner role, I might say things like, for thoughts, I always think that I don't have enough time and don't get anything done. I worry about how others are going to respond, and sometimes it stops me from producing. I have a lot of money-limiting thoughts that make me think I'm never going to make it, and I worry that the market is saturated. I envy others with a larger platform. Feelings. I get anxious and stressed when I think about where I am versus where I want to be. I feel a tension in my body when I think about what I want to do and where I am, and feel a disconnect often between those two spaces. I have a lot of shame that makes me fear that I'm going to screw up and somehow be canceled in some way. Actions. I'm easily distracted or find myself disengaged when I have work time. I tend to fill my plate with other things to perpetuate that busyness cycle so that I have reasons not to do things that I want to do, but I'm actually pretty scared of doing. And then connections. I can fall into a hole when I'm feeling scared. Most of my interactions are quite draining, and I feel like it's hard to just be how I am in most spaces. I don't feel like I'm heard by my friends and family, and most people don't really know what I do and don't really seem to invest in learning, which makes me feel sad. I also limit connections with people in my field sometimes because of my own shame and envy. Okay, we did it. We got through steps 1, 2, and 3. And now it's time for us to wrap this all up. So I want you to take a few minutes and look over everything that came up for you. What do you notice? Does anything surprise you? Are there themes, areas that seem to have greater distress associated, or maybe no distress? Where are there imbalances? I also want you to do a quick feelings check. We're going to do these a lot throughout the course. And what I want you to do is notice what emotions and body sensations are coming up for you. Are you holding any tension or rigidity in your body? Are you feeling anxious, stressed, overwhelmed? Do you notice a reactivity in yourself? None of this is a sign that you're not okay or that you need to stop. It's a sign that your body is asking you just to take moments for love. So with that, I'm going to take some time to talk a little bit about self-care. Under this video, you'll find a self-care handout that talks more explicitly about what the role of self-care is, what it can look like in practice, and ways to engage in it meaningfully. There's a list of different activities in this handout, each with notes about materials or supplies involved, time to invest, type of activity, and even a notes section to track if you've tried it out and how it makes you feel. This module requires you to give a significant amount of energy to the dumping process. Holding space to name and put out into the world what you've been holding on to takes much more of a toll on your body than you might realize. And while I encourage you to engage in self-care throughout this course and honestly throughout every day of your life, I'm going to be sure to make direct invitations after modules such as this to make sure that you feel empowered and supported to show up for and engage in this type of activity. In the next module, we're going to take what, for now, feels like this big room of ping pong balls that we just filled, and we're going to begin to look for themes and roots by answering the question, why are these problems? What are the connections that underlie each of them, and what bridges can we find between them? We're going to analyze and dive deeper into the data that we collected here in Module 1, and as we do this, new information might reveal itself to, again, add more context to our experience and our feelings. When we go through this process, I want you to be mindful that overwhelm is a totally normal experience to have. Again, you're taking these things that you've been holding on to for years and asking yourself to put it out into the world, which feels vulnerable and overwhelming, and then sit at it without fixing it right away. So as we go into Module 2, again, make sure you take that time for self-care. And as you come back into and we start kind of drawing this down to find those connections, just show up with that curiosity and kindness. You're not alone. You have lots of supports in this course and program to help you, and I'm always just an email away. I'll see you in Module 2.